everybody that is here, then say you are welcome in this meeting, which may actually have fewer items than we had anticipated. Maybe I should just go straight to that. Our first item on the agenda will be the consideration and adoption of committee report on the revised strategic plan 2022-2023, annual performance plan, and 2022-23 budget of the Department of Transport. Before I start with that item, let me just get some clarity. I thought we will be having the item number two and item number three ready for today, but I did not see any updated A list on the two items. Do we have the legal people here to explain that to us? What's happening? Mayor Richardson, are you around? Pumelele, are you around?
Yes, Chairperson, greetings, and greetings to all the members. I am here.
Yes, what happened to these two items? If I may be just abreast together with the members of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Last night I received a call from the supervisor working with Ms. Haricharan, and he indicated that Ms. Haricharan is not well. He also just got the message and he was not certain whether she will be available today. But in respect of the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, Chairperson, and the amendments that we were supposed to finalize, we had worked on it. She was just supposed to give a final go ahead in terms of the drafting style and convention. And the only part that was outstanding, Chairperson, from what we presented previously, was the correction of the memorandum on the objects of the bill, which is already also done. So if she had given us a go ahead, we would have done the B version, getting the approval. But what must happen today, Chairperson, the memorandum on the objects of the bill, all that it corrects are the corrections that the committee has already accepted on the amendments. And that was the only update that was supposed to take place. If the committee is prepared and ready for me to do that, I can quickly take them through it and get the approval so that we can go ahead with the CRIDA processes, Chairperson. Otherwise, I am not certain exactly what was the position and why from the time we discussed and finalized everything, she did not give us back the confirmation that the process can go ahead as the Chief State Law Advisor Office. And that's the part where they were supposed to finalize. So that is the position in respect of the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, Chairperson. I will get the direction and indication from the Chairperson and the committee whether we can go ahead, because as I said, I can take the committee through the updates that were supposed to have taken place, and then we get approval, and that will be the final process. And then we get the B version of the bill and the amendment A list for the approval of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Have you sent the updates to the committee, to the committee, Mayor Pumelele, on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill?
Chairperson, it's the one I sent to the State Law Advisor. I also copied the support staff of the committee. So it's the same one that I'm going to be discussing, Chairperson, if the committee so indicates. So because we were waiting for the confirmation from the State Law Advisor to say she is happy and it's in order, then that would have been the final document, and she puts it on as part of the A list. So the only thing that's not done is that it's not part of the A list, but it can still be done. And the committee staff could not forward it to the members before the finalization on our side, Chairperson. but they do have it in their position because there are no changes, but it's not in the format that the A list would have taken.
Okay. Are we in a position to get and deal with this thing in our next meeting properly processed, Mayor Phumelele? Both of them.
Chairperson, that will be greatly appreciated under the circumstances, because also, even if we are saying it's a consequential amendment to the memo, that it would assist and be of agency to the members that they also approve something that they've seen in the right format, Chairperson. So if the committee is willing and amenable to allowing us the space to ensure that and make sure that this problem does not happen again, that will be greatly appreciated, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor Phumelele. I guess the committee does not have any other way to deal with this matter. We will process it properly and get it next week. And can we then deal with the first item on the agenda? Let me just quickly open it.
Chair, apologies. If you may give me a second, Chair.
Yes, Valerie.
Chair, the matter that was addressed now was for the traffic bill, National Road Traffic Bill. There is still the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, and Ms. Gangan is in the meeting to talk to that matter.
I thought Mayor Phumelele had dealt with that matter also. Let's hear Mayor Chiren, if there's any other different explanation than the one we already had.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. It's Ms. Gangan, Chairperson. So we are in the same position as our colleague, Ms. Ngema, in that we had met with the State Law Advisor on the 7th of April to finalize the amendments to the A-list. And that was supposed to be provided to us on the 5th of May. Despite us following up with the State Law Advisor, there's just been absolute radio silence on her side. And like Ms. Ngema indicated last night, I too received a telephone call from Ms. Haricharan's supervisor, who said that she was ill. And so we also in the position where we do not have the finalized A-list from the State Law Advisor. And I think perhaps, like Ms. Ngema, the committee would allow us some time to just finalize that with the State Law Advisor, and we can deal with it comprehensively at the next meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Gangan. Gangan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Then I think the other item that is not yet ready, that we may be able to deal with next week, is the consideration and adoption of draft report on the oversight visit to Mpumalanga, Northwest, and KwaZulu-Natal. Valerie, do you wish to give some update on that item?
Yes, Chair. We finalized the reports last week, myself, Advocate Nell, and Dr. Ngesi. As I indicated, although there was one oversight from the 19th to the 23rd of April, the reports for that visit was split into one that covers the Mulatto rail issue, and the visits to Rustenburg, Msunduzi, and on the Northwest roads. The petition report is separate from that one because that matter was separately reported to the committee for consideration and a report to the House. So those two reports were given to you on Thursday night. The issue there is, Chair, we are still waiting for outstanding information from the department, from the administrator in Northwest, and from Musunduzi to finalize those reports. So we asked Chair to have that matter stand over to the 24th of May, when the committee can deal with both reports to finalize the observations and the recommendations. What we can do, Chair, is to send the reports to members in the meantime as a first draft, because it is done, as I indicated to you, we finished it. And then when we get the information from Sunduzi, the administrator and the department, we can add that so that we can have the final draft ready by the 18th of May, which is next week, Wednesday.
Okay. Do please send that to members, Valerie, as we indicate, and so that we are ready by the 24th. Members, was I correct, Valerie, that we do not have any other apology except the apology of the Deputy Minister?
Chair, that was the situation at the beginning of the meeting, but I've just received an email that I forwarded to you from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor to indicate that the state law advisor is booked off ill until 11th May, which is tomorrow, and that they have alerted the parliament legal advisors last night about the unexpected leave of absence. But there is now something in writing from Advocate Hercules.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, the consideration and adoption of committee's report on the revised strategic plan 2022-2023, annual performance plan, and 2022-2023 budget of the Department of Transport. There we are. I can see it is beamed. Who's leading us on it?
Morning, Chair. That will be my duty for today. Chair, if it's okay with members, we did send this through. I'm going to try and go through it quite speedily. Chair, members will see here, it's our regular format for our budget reports. The only difference in this report to the previous years is that we did not this year have really time to spend with all of the entities. We only had the road accident fund. So the report here at the introduction does indicate the meeting date, as well as the fact that we did meet with the road accident fund, and indicates also that it was a joint meeting with the select committee on Transport, Public Service Administration, Public Works and Infrastructure. So members will see here the report is really focused on the department, the department's budget, its performance in the quarters of last year. We only have the first three quarter reports. As members will note, when we deal with a budget, we hardly ever have the fourth quarter report because it's quite close to the ending of the financial year. Then just an indication that once we do have some time, we will hopefully get to meet with all of the entities and just go through their APPs, and then we will do a separate report focusing on their aspects. We do have a table in this report that does speak to the budget that was allocated to the various entities and the main points there from the National Treasury documentation regarding their budgets and their aims for the year. So members will see again, we do look at SONA, we look at the APP, the budget allocation, and the NDP. The mandate of the department remains the same. This has not changed. So this is really something that is seen in our reports every year. This will only change if the department does feel that they need to change their mandate during the review of the strategic plan. They've not done this. Organizational structure of the department also still remains the same based on the 7 programs. Just again for members, as we saw last year in the documents of the department, they did split their administration programs under the specific offices of the DG, the COO, the CFO. So the administration program has a few more levers to it, but that was there already last year. The strategic outcomes-oriented goals of the department also remains the same. The only real change here is that, Chair, they added on the first item and security. It used to be just safety as an enabler for service delivery, but this year their documents indicate that it's safety and security as an enabler for service delivery. They do still focus on these 8 areas, and their APP and their strat plan, the programs that they perform their work under is accordingly linked in that way. Our first table just gives an indication on how the MTSF pillars and the APEX priorities link up with the department's strategic focus areas. This has also not really changed compared to last year. Then, Chair, the program and subcommittee plans based on the annual and quarterly targets. This 2.3, the entire section, just highlights the targets that the department has set out for the for this year, the 2022-23 year, and it's broken down in terms of the quarterly targets as well. This was in the department's documentation as well as the department's presentation last week, Chair. So we did indicate, or those were indicated there. In my notes, members would have seen which ones are new if the department doesn't indicate specifically that it is a new one. This one is the focus on the gender responsive programming, which all the departments have worked into their documents. This is a sub-program under the Chief Audit Executive, looking at resolution of incidents of corruption. Then under the COO's office, the filling of positions, vacant positions, training, bursaries, and interns. Then the CFO's office, action plans to address the audit findings. We see this in every year. Then the financial administration and supply chain management targets are here as well. That's to reduce the fruitless, wasteful, irregular, and unauthorized expenditure and make payments within 30 days. The public entity oversight. This is an aspect that the committee has been quite passionate about over the past, probably since I've been here, since 2015, Chair. Feels like a lifetime already. Looking at the shareholders' compacts with the entities, governance of their financial and non-financial performance. Then on integrated transport planning under macro sector planning, we look at some the targets here for the participation, development, and implementation of one plans in 2 district municipalities. They do indicate those 2 municipalities for the year is their focus. Then 50 district municipalities, they don't identify the 50 districts here, but their reports should highlight where they've done that at the end of the year. Then for research and innovation, they're looking, the focus on the autonomous vehicle technology and the regulations that they have to look at for those ones. This really is to try and focus on new developments in the vehicle industry. Then also this would cover the carbon emission transition being monitored and the framework for the electric vehicle regulations. Electric vehicle regulations, I think, Chair, has been in the pipeline for quite a few years. This is very important. Moving forward, we see more of these vehicles being introduced. And the sooner we have these frameworks and regulations in place, the sooner the local electric vehicle industry can advance, and hopefully the sooner we can have a rollout of these types of charging stations, not just in upmarket malls, but in our local communities as well as our homes. Then sub-program modeling and economic analysis. Again, this one's main focus is the ERT bill, and members will see a for this entire year, it is really under the parliamentary process, which would allow for the committee to finalize their work on this, as well as the NCOP process. Then the next one, we have regional integration. We're looking at the regional integration strategy to be approved by Cabinet by the end of the year. Then the freight logistics, the freight migration plan, road to rail implementation. Again, a project that has been in the pipeline for quite some time and really struggling to get off the ground or really be viewed and seen as being implemented. We've seen reports yesterday on the release of the white paper on rail. And we've also seen the recent reports on the struggle of Aksa Airport OR Tambo getting jet fuel in there via rail. So it's very important that this migration plan be implemented as soon as possible. Then, Chair, on the rail transport program, we see their targets here for railway safety, or it's a focus on the railway safety bill, which is currently before Parliament as well. Then the competitive accessible markets is the National Rail Bill. We have not seen this bill yet. So this is a bill that still has to go through the cabinet process. And members will recall that the committee has also asked the department to make sure that their bills reach Parliament well ahead of time so that we don't have bills in the final year of this administration because the bill will lapse if we do not get it by next year, or at least by the third quarter next year. Chances are that it will lapse. Rail infrastructure and industry development. We have the PSP framework approval planned to be done, approved by Cabinet by the end of this year. And then we have a high-speed rail corridor framework approval required by Cabinet also by the end of this year. A number of new trains produced. The target for this year is 42. The implementation of PROSA capital projects to be monitored. And the value of that for this year is 12.6 billion. Then on the road transport targets, the road transport regulation, we see the implementation of the National Road Safety Strategy being monitored. We see the General Laws Amendment Bill to be approved by Parliament through the end of the year, but members need to note that this bill has also not been tabled yet. It's not before the committee yet. And they do have quite a few stakeholder consultations that they need to do throughout the year before they can bring and approve this to Parliament. We will have to see how they go through the year for that target. Then the road traffic law enforcement entities integration. This is their target for the year, is the due diligence to be conducted on the integration of the DLCA, RTMC and RTA, also a project that's been in the pipeline for quite some time. National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, approval by Parliament. Again, members will know this one is before the committee and they've planned for the committee and the NCOP to deal with that. Next program is road infrastructure and industry development. We have road infrastructure funding policy implementation, a draft of this policy to be submitted to Cabinet for the annual target. Surfaced roads maintained, the SANRAL road maintenance program to be monitored. Members saw during the oversight and also heard that there's quite a number of roads that are planned or targeted to be transferred to SANRAL. We will have to see how this also impacts the work that SANRAL does. Then the surface roads maintained provincial level and the gravel roads maintained provincial level. The provincial road maintenance program to be monitored. This is also an aspect that the members ask for every year, and members will see that we do have it at the bottom of the report as one of the recommendations that the rollout of the PRMG grant must be monitored and reported onto the committee. We saw the poor state of the roads, especially in the northwest and in the sections that we were able to traverse on at KZN, in the KZN, the Drakensberg region, and then further down. There are quite some issues there with the provincial road maintenance and the province's view that they are not getting enough funding in order to reach all their roads. Then the next one is the number of jobs created through infrastructure projects under the SANRAL Road Maintenance Program. That is a monitoring target for them. Again, number of jobs created through public infrastructure projects, which is PRMG, and as well, probably the gravel one will also be included in there. Next program is road engineering standards. The target here is the rehabilitation of flood damaged infrastructure to be monitored. This one was obviously included into the APP and strat plan following the floods in February, but I'm sure their plans have been adjusted in order to make sure for the recent floods as well to be covered. Then the road inventory data monitored and analyzed. This is the provincial and municipal road asset management data to be analyzed, the RAMS. We did also receive a briefing during the oversight at Northwest that the Northwest Department indicated that their RAMS model has been upgraded and they do run and process the data into that system. The hope is really that not just the data being analyzed, but that National will have a national overlook or access to all of this, so that if there are questions about specific roads, we can ask the National Department, and by accessing that system, they should be easily be able to indicate not only which entity, or whether it's provincial or municipal, that is the curator of that road or the owner of that road, but also what the status of the road is at the moment. Program 5, civil aviation. We look at the aviation policy and regulation sub-program. There's permanent representative of South Africa on the ICAO council appointed. So the target is the representation of South Africa on ICAO. Then reviewed regulations for remotely piloted aircraft systems, RPAS. This is our drones. Then the aviation safety, security, environment, and search and rescue. Percentage reduction in fatal accident in the aviation sector. This is not just the commercial aviation aircraft, which SACA has quite proudly indicated that we haven't. We haven't had a commercial aircraft in quite some time accident, but the focus is on the entire sector. We've had quite a few crashes of smaller airplanes in the past year. So their target for the annual year is a 10% reduction. On the Aeronautical Maritime Search and Rescue Bill to be approved by Parliament, members will see here that that's the output indicator, but the target for the year is to get it through the cabinet process. Then the sub-program Aviation Economic Analysis and Industry Development, number of jobs created there at AXA infrastructure projects are being looked at. The target is 17,064 jobs. On maritime transport, the program Maritime Policy and Legislation, the Maritime Development Fund Bill to be approved by cabinet in the outer years, but for this year it's approval through the cabinet process. So members will see that it's also the same for the merchant shipping bill. We've had quite a few merchant shipping bill amendments coming through to the committee in recent years, but members will again see here that this will be two additional bills that will likely reach us next year or towards the outer part of next year. Concern is if we do reach it, if it does reach us on the outer part of next year, we might not be able to finalize this within this term. Then the reduction in greenhouse gases for the aviation maritime. This is the Marine Pollution Prevention Amendment Bill to be approved. Members will see this follows from the convention or the conventions that were before the committee recently. But for this year, it's just the department's target to get it through the cabinet process and then introduce it to Parliament towards the fourth quarter. Maritime Infrastructure Program. They look at the Transnet National Ports Authority corporatized. A status report on this is the annual target. Operation Pakisa, Oceans Economy, the 3-foot plan being monitored. Operation model for a national shipping company approved by cabinet. Those are their targets there. Next one is maritime implementation, monitoring and evaluation. Analysis report on reportable maritime safety incident rates, analysis report on reportable maritime fatality rates, and the National Maritime Security Strategy approval by cabinet. Then reduction in greenhouse gases is the pollution incidents reduced. Then for public transport, on public transport network development, we have the integrated single ticketing system approved and implemented. There were quite a few questions by members regarding this. The department does indicate here that quarter one is the monitoring of this system in one city. They do not indicate which city this is. And then there's one city for quarter one, two, and three. This might be in Gauteng, but again, they did not indicate specifically which city this is. Number of cities operating integrated public transport networks. Members do know that we have 10 cities currently. That was reduced from 13. We do have a bit of a lag in the 10 cities. There are approximately 7 of these cities current operating from pilot programs to phased programs of the bus routes. There are 3 cities that should start their implementation within this year or next year. And members did indicate in the oversight, if a city, for example, like Rustenburg does not start the implementation quite soon, that the chances are that they could, again, like the other 3 cities, lose their funding in order to run the project. Members will see there that the target is to have the engagements with 5 municipalities per quarter. But that might go over because if might be 5 the first 2 quarters and 5 in the last 2 quarters because we don't have 20 cities running this at the moment. But I just thought I'd point that out for members based on the numbers that the department gave there. The number of average weekday passenger trips across cities operating the IPTNs. The target for the year is 150,000 average weekday passenger trips in the 10 cities. Then the revised bus rapid transit specifications and technical norms and standards. That would have been sent through to the cities from the departments. Then percentage compliance with spatial referencing of IPTN. The target is a 50% compliance. Percentage compliance with universal design norms and standards. The department does indicate 100% compliance in the 10 cities, but members will note that we did see, especially in Msunduzi, that even though they're not one of the 10 cities at the moment, we did see with the rollout of the infrastructure that there's in some areas not universal access, there's not ramps up to the station or to the sidewalks So they do need to look at, the department does need to look at that and make sure that all of the cities have that universal design, both in the infrastructure as well as the vehicles that they use to run out the IPTNs. Increased operational hours of the BRTs. The focus is to have a 17-hour running system, but it will be demand-driven. The Public Transport Regulation sub-program is the Transport Appeal Tribunal. Members will recall this is currently for the committee. Then the fully capacitated and operational National Public Transport Regulator. They are establishing a business case for this. That's their annual target. Standardized provincial regulatory entities, business processes, that's the PREs, our guys that process the operating licenses for the public transport vehicles. They have a draft standard operating procedure manual for the PREs to be approved by the end of the year. This will ensure that all the PREs through all the provinces do run their systems and their services in the same manner. Subprogram Public Transport Industry Development, Public Transport Subsidy Policy Approval, Public Transport Funding Model Development, Framework for the Taxi Industry Empowerment Model being implemented, and then the public transport operations being monitored in the provinces. That one is the subsidized bus services, the monitoring and rollout of that. Then safer transport systems, the number of old taxi vehicles scrapped. Members will see here the projected target for the year is 3,750. And it's broken down there per quarter. Members will also recall that this is also demand driven. And it depends on the uptake by the industry of this. The vehicles also have to have operating licenses in order to qualify for the taxi scrapping program. And the department has indicated that they will be looking at a date by when these vehicles or the industry should present their vehicles for scrapping. Programs to address gender-based violence in the taxi industry being implemented is also a target that they've added there. Subprogram rural and scholar transport implementation. The number of district municipalities assisted with IPTN plans. And the annual target is to focus on those two cities that they did indicate there for the year, district municipalities. Then the number of bicycles distributed in rural municipalities, the annual target is 8,000. Then the budget analysis for members. Members will see here, we will make sure that the table is fully on the document. This was just with the recent amendments that it went a little bit off of the page. So members will see a 3.1. It really is a repeat of our quarterly expenditure reports and the indications that we have there. So I'm very quickly going to scroll through this one. We have the first quarter expenditure that we have in our first expenditure report, the second quarter, and then the third quarter. This is last year and what was reported to date by the department. Again, we do not have the fourth quarter projections. Then here, just against the third quarter, goods and services spending, everything is there for members. 3.2 is the policy priorities. We've shortened this chapter a bit, members would have seen. We just highlight where the department's programs fit in with the NDP. Members will recall that first table. I do refer back to the first table here in the paragraph so that we don't repeat our tables again. Just indicates how the plan for the APP speaks to the NDP, as well as the commitments or the areas highlighted in SONA by the president. Just a reminder there for members, the highlights there from SONA. Was the rehabilitation of passenger rail network in 10 priority corridors, using infrastructure fund to invest in transport, implementing the rural roads program through using labor intensive methods to construct or upgrade 685 kilometers of rural roads over 3 years, and introducing measures to curb the theft of scrap metal or cable on the country's infrastructure, including trains. have a section here regarding PRASA. Of course, PRASA is always mentioned in SONA. They've gone through quite a bit with vandalism and cable theft, and now recent damage to the infrastructure through the floods. But we do need our rail system to be back up and running in order for the poorest commuters, as it is currently the cheapest form if the trains are running. There's a bit of a focus there on the infrastructure fund and the targets there for the projects. And the government has gazetted 50 of the SIP projects with a value of 340 billion. We do focus here on the transport aspects, the rural roads being often neglected. Then we have focus on the United Nations Decade of Action for Road Safety. We are slowly creeping closer to the 2030 target. We do have quite a few of our entities focusing on road safety. Members did have this discussion with RAF as well. In the past, it really was a instruction to all the department's entities where possible that they all work towards reducing fatalities on our roads. Again, this is why we want, if you look at it, you want people to use the aviation sector so that they are not on long distance road trips. You do want people to use the rail system, long distance rail, Shosholoza Mail when it's up and running. We do want people to travel safely on our roads, and most of our entities can contribute towards this, even if they are not the running or the main entities looking at road safety. Then the budget analysis for members. This gives the overall budget allocation to the department for the year. This is based on the information that was provided by Treasury in the budget documents. Members will see here that the total budget there is indicated under the total. It's gone quite up, quite a bit up here. The largest increase, if we look at the totals, is towards the rail transport. And then a slight increase for public and maritime. There's a reduction in civil aviation, reduction in road, another slight increase for integrated transport planning, and administration has also had a reduction. So members will see the indication which was sent to members also during the research document for the budget. For this year, the department receives 69.1 billion, excluding the direct charges, constituting 6.5% of the 1.1 trillion national budget vote. I also did indicate here to members, footnote 51, that it's not in the table, but there's also a budget allocation for the direct charge against the National Revenue Fund towards the International Oil Pollution Compensation Funds for the year, in a total of 12 million. That's also in the table documents that we've received from Treasury. The members will also see in terms of economic classification, transfers and subsidies comprise 67.7 billion or 97.9% of the department's budget goes towards transfers and subsidies. Of this, to the provinces and municipalities, 24.5 billion. Departmental agencies and accounts, 22.8 billion. And public corporations and private enterprises, 19.9 billion. Public transport program continues to have the biggest funding for the use of consultants, which increases from 250.6 million previously to 264.3 million. Members will note the use of consultants has been a concern for the committee for quite a few years. It was not a specific observation during the meeting that we had last week, But I'm just highlighting this again for members if members would like us to add an observational recommendation regarding the use of consultants again. We've done that for quite a few years in the past, and the expenditure on consultants do still continue to grow. Program analysis, members will see it's just highlighting the budget for each of the programs and a short narrative on how that that has been either increased or decreased. So I'm just going to go over this. This is taken also from Treasury as well as our research analysis and the presentations from the department. Just stopping here quickly on rail, members will see this is the allocations that go to RASA. The first table we have is the current RASA transfers for operations. Members will see there the increases, and then the capital transfers. Quite a substantial amount goes to the rolling stock fleet renewal. Signaling has been reduced. The budget for signaling was reduced, and the mainline passenger service refurbishment of coaches has also been reduced because the focus is on the shorter service, the regular everyday commuter services. Road transport. This is our SunRail, RTMC, RTIA, and the PRMG sections. Members will see here, we just took out to highlight the focus on how much money is going to the entities. SunRail's GFIP is reduced by quite a bit. That is normally linked to when the payments are due for the guarantees. And whether SunRail was able to generate some funding or Gauteng was able to generate some funding that could go towards GFIP so that the fiscus fits a smaller bill for that. And if people do start to pay the e-tolls as well, then we see RTIA's allocation has also been reduced. SunRail, the overall one here, been reduced. Non-toll network has increased. The Maloto Road upgrade has increased slightly. Into Wild Coast, slight increase there. Rural roads, again, this is based on the input that we receive from the provinces, not enough for them, but there is a slight increase there for the Rural Road Asset Management System grant. And then PRMG, there's actually a reduction. The department has indicated the municipalities do need to make sure that they do send some of their own generated funds to match the PRMG and the equitable share that does go to the provinces for roads. Then civil aviation, there's just the breakdown there of the civil aviation. And the reduction there in their program. Maritime transport. Members will see there's been some increases in some aspects, maritime policy development and industry development, but then there's a decrease in monitoring and evaluation. Maritime oversight gets a slight increase. Maritime administration, again, also a slight increase. Then for public transport, public transport regulation, rural scholar transport, slight increases there. Then we just highlight this from the budget tables to show that the allocation towards the tax recapitalization program, allocation towards Santaco, the PTNG allocation, which is our integrated transport systems, and then the PTOG estate, the same, that is the subsidized bus services. Members will also note that for the PTOG, the funding stays the same in this manner, we will often find that the bus companies do dispute and come to the provinces to indicate that it's not taking inflation into account, and that they then in turn have to increase their fares that they do charge the passengers in order to make up their shortfall. Otherwise, they will not be able to maintain their buses or buy new fleets. Then chapter four, members will see here is our table indicating the allocations to the entities. Again, this one is not detailed focus on the entities because we did not meet with them, but it does give an indication on the allocation here. For OXA, the company plans to access banking credit facilities to meet their short-term liquidity requirements by borrowing 542 million in last year and then 204 million for this year. Their total expenditure is expected to increase at an average annual rate of 3.3%. And then this year it goes to 6.4, or the outer years of 24 and 25, it goes to 6.4 billion. Still reeling from the impact of COVID, their total revenue is expected to increase an average annual rate of 11.7%. And this is as the passenger numbers do pick up again following the COVID impact. For PRASA, the allocation to them is in the furthest table there. The total expenditure is expected to increase at an average annual rate of 7.8%. And 69.9% of this is earmarked for Metro Rail and Mainline Passenger Service Program. Compensation of employees accounts for estimated 38.9%. And transfers from the department account for an estimated of 86.9% of the agency's total revenue over the medium term. Since they've had a decrease in passenger numbers, they do largely rely on the grant coming from the department. This has also been heard in recent interviews with the acting group CEO on the news and the discussions there. Then a road accident fund, RAF. As we see, they did get no transfer from the department. Their main focus is to obtain their monies from the fuel levy. They have not received an increase in the fuel levy for this year. And again, they are the only entity whose annual report is still outstanding, but members do know that this is based on a dispute on interpretation with the AGSA. For SANRAL, the allocation from the department is indicated in the furthest table there. Their total expenditure is expected to increase from 21.4 billion last year to the outer years, 2024-25, to be 26.1 billion. This might change or increase further, members, based on some of the comments we've received during the oversight. The minister is waiting for quite a few of the premiers in their letters to indicate which roads, if any, they would like to have transferred to SANRAL. Strategically, economically strategic roads. And there was also an indication during the discussions on oversight that SANRAL will cap or seeks to cap the kilometers of roads on their books to 35,000 in total. So we will see, depending on the allocation of the roads to SANRAL, their expenditure might increase. Their budgets will also have to increase, but that budget will then have to come from the provinces and the municipalities where those roads were transferred from. Then ATNS, we do see here, they will continue to focus on the air safety. Their air traffic communication is expected to account for 50% of the company's total expenditure over the medium term. They are set to generate 83.6% of its revenue through aerodrome, en route, and approach fees. The CBRTA, also, they do not get a transfer funding from the department. They get their fees through the licenses that they issue and any fines that are issued. The agency's total expenditure is expected to increase at an average annual rate of 4.6%. Then the driver license card account. There is no specific indication on the budget vote for the DLCA, but it does get run as one of the programs in the department. Their spending on production and infrastructure is expected to account for 64.3% of the total expenditure over the medium term. Their total expenditure is expected to decrease over the 5 years at an average annual rate of 5.8%. These figures and these percentages will have to see how they are affected once the department does get the approval for a new card system and how that will actually impact their revenue as well as the expenditure. Ports regulator, very small amount there from the department. The total expenditure is expected to increase at an average annual rate of 3%. The railway safety regulator, also one of the smaller allocations from the department. Their expenditure is expected to increase at an average annual rate of 3.8% over the 2001 to 2025 years. And then the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, RTIA, and the allocation indicated there, total expenditure expected to increase at an average annual rate of 3.3%. Again, we will have to see what the outcome is of the Constitutional Court judgment regarding the ARTO legislation and how that will impact RTIA going forward. The Road Traffic Management Corporation, the allocation indicated, and then a total expenditure is expected to increase from 1.3 billion in 21-22 to 1.6 in 24-25, annual average rate of 7.3. This increase will accommodate the planned hiring of 300 road traffic trainees on 12-month contracts in each year over the medium term. It's also the running of the NATIS system to recover to pre-pandemic levels. Then SACA's allocation is there. The authority plans to conduct 229 air safety infrastructure investigations and 1,374 air safety operations inspections per year over the MTF. Total expenditures expected to increase at average annual rate of 10.4%, set to generate 73% of its revenue over the medium term through passenger safety charges, user fees, and aviation fuel levy. Again, the concerns experienced at OR Tambo with the jet fuel could impact part of that revenue increase there. SAMHSA, just here, they generate their revenue from levies, fees, and user charges, and the total revenue is expected to decrease at an average annual rate of 0.4%, slight decrease there, due to projected decrease in the number of ships operating in South Africa's waters, in line with demand forecasts as the shipping industry continues to deal with delays and congestion at the South African ports. Again, we do not yet know how the impact of the floods on the Durban port functions will impact this and these numbers as well. Then members here, we come to pertinent section where we again need members' assistance and further input is the committee observations. The following are the proposed observations. These observations were again based on the questions that members asked during the meeting as well as past engagements with the department and some engagements during the recent oversight. We've tried to make sure that everything is accommodated. 5.1, there's still a concern from the committee regarding slow filling of vacancies in boards and senior management positions for the entities as well as the department. A number of board appointment terms came to an end in the course of the previous year, and some entities still have concerns regarding the filling of board vacancies. With regard to the department, according to the sign-off sheet for the revised strat plan and the APP, the following posts have acting appointments: the COO, the DDG, Civil Aviation, DDG Public Transport, and the accounting officer, which is the DG. Then 5.2, the committee previously raised its concern with the department that critical pieces of legislation were planned and or submitted to Parliament late in its term, and that the continuation of this will lead to the committee and Parliament practically not being able to thoroughly interrogate the legislation with proper public participation in both houses to bring the documents to finality. 5.3, following recent oversight by the committee to some roads of the Northwest, Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal provinces, there's a clear need to receive regular quarterly reports on the implementation of the following grants: the BRMG, the RRAMS, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, the MIG, the Expanded Public Works Program, Integrated Grant for Municipalities, and the Public Transport Network Grant, TNG. 5.4, in the end of 2019-2020 financial year, and from the planning for 2020-2021, the department reduced the number of cities receiving the PTNG from 13 to 10. Mbombela, Msunduzi, and Buffalo City have since been suspended from the grant due to years of slow implementation and lack of institutional capacity to drive a major transformation of public transport services. There's a need by the department and the committee to receive quarterly reports on progress within these suspended cities towards being readmitted to receive the grant funding again. There is also a need to receive reports regarding strict monitoring of the rollout towards implementation within the current and 2023-24 financial years in three of the 10 cities, which is Rustenburg, Polokwane, and Mangaung, and the current implementation within seven of the 10 cities, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, George, eThekwini, and Nelson Mandela Bay. Then 5.5, the findings in the public protector report against PATCO and the allegations that the continued extension of its subsidized service contract by the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport was illegal was noted. That was during the oversight. The Moloto community members raised this concern with members, and I also previously sent the public protector's report to members on that aspect. 5.6, reintroduction of passenger rail services to strategically significant routes was noted, as well as reports of extensive flood damage to rail infrastructure in KZN. But the committee was of the view that more should be done to bring the full system back online, as well as ensuring that passenger rail services is reintroduced from Sunduzi to eThekwini. 5.7, continued delays in the printing and delivery of driving license cards, along with breakdowns of the printing machine, proposals to introduce a new card format, and interruptions or failures of the online booking systems were noted. And the department was requested to give honest feedback to the committee on the backlog and system failures for the issuing of driving license cards. Then on draft proposed recommendations, again taken from the meeting last week, as well as some of the recommendations made during the oversight. 6.1, the department must provide the committee with quarterly updates on the filling of board vacancies so that board memberships are filled well in time to have functioning boards in order to prevent a recurrence of annual report delays, as well as to ensure effective and efficient control over and fiduciary duty fulfillment in all entities of the department. 6.2, the department should give a quarterly update on the filling of vacancies in senior positions within the department and its entities. There are quite a few entities that have acting CEOs in place at the moment. Then 6.3, the department should do its best to submit all planned legislation to Parliament by no later than the last quarter of year three, or at the latest by the first quarter of year four of their strategic plans. 6.4, the department should provide a full report on all PTOG contracts, that's the subsidized bus contracts, in place and how far the various departments are in advertising new tenders for these routes. Furthermore, the report should indicate the dates of conclusion of these contracts, how many times these contracts have been extended. Just a correction there. And the periods of the extension. Court orders against termination of these contracts and whether PTOG bus subsidies have been paid based on the number of passengers transported over a number of kilometers per operation route. The report should be submitted to the committee within 30 days after the adoption of this report by the House. 6.5. The department should provide quarterly reports on the implementation of the following grants: PRMG, RAMS, MIG, the Expanded Public Works Program Integrated Grant for Municipalities, and PTNG. These reports must indicate the past five-year budget allocation for these grants to each province and municipality benefiting from these, what projects have benefited from these grants in the past 5 years, what projects are projected to benefit from these grants in the next 5 years, status of projects, whether they are in the planning phase, in progress, and completion dates. If grant allocations were suspended, give reasons for the suspensions and possible grounds or conditions for readmission. 6.6, the department should provide quarterly updates on whether there was any uptake by the taxi industry of the COVID-19 relief fund for the industry, and if not, how these funds have been reprioritized. 6.7, the department and the DLCA must provide quarterly reports on progress with narrowing the backlog of driver license card production, as well as progress on the cabinet process towards the new card format. 6.8, the department and PRASA must provide quarterly reports on progress with bringing the full passenger rail service back online, as well as the progress with new train rollout and depot finalization to store these trains safely. This report must also contain information on the appointment and rollout of the security plans to prevent vandalism of, theft of, and encroachment onto PRASA infrastructure and rail services. Summary of reporting requests. Again, these are draft proposals. The department should submit following reports: annual status report on IPTN program compliance with universal design norms and standards, annual status report on operational hours of BRTs, and annual monitoring report on public transport. These are written reports by the end of this financial year. The department, together with RAF, should submit the following reports. Annual report must be tabled for last year, which is overdue, as soon as the dispute with the AG is resolved. Annual report on steps taken to ensure a resolution of reported incidents of fraud and corruption. Annual report on the implementation of action plan to address audit findings raised for the previous financial year and the year findings raised in last year's report once it's released. Annual report on efforts taken to achieve an unqualified audit report with no significant findings. Annual report on efforts taken to reduce wasteful and fruitless expenditure, and the annual report on steps taken to reduce irregular expenditure. Again, this must be done by the end of the year. These are just suggested to include because these are annual reports that the department does have within their APPs and strat plans, and the same for RAF, so that the committee requires them to submit this to committee and not just complete it for purposes of their reaching of their targets. And Chair, that is the draft report for the members to give input or further additions to the observations and recommendations or any other edits that the committee members may need. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate Almanel. Well done indeed. Members, for further consideration, any inputs or adoption of the report. Am I correct, Advocate?
Yes, Chair, that's correct.
Let's see hands. Who, okay, Ndate, Ngwane Mola Kwakwa Dutabi, Adam Kumren.
Chairperson.
Yeah, Baba.
Please note our objection as EFF with regard to this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, EFF, and your objection. That is noted. Thank you. Honorable MacDonald.
Good morning, Chairperson. Apologies for not putting my video on. Good morning, members. Chairperson, I just wanted to know if on the road maintenance part, if we can't possibly add a state of the roads in the province database so that the committee can understand the extent of the damages to the roads in all the provinces. As it was myself that raised this on the previous meeting, I wonder, Chairperson, if it will be possible, and I don't know, Chairperson, you must please assist, that we asked as they report about the repairs to the roads, to the road, the provincial road maintenance grant, if we can also ask these same departments to give us an indication of the state of the roads in their provinces, so that we can check their progress on the maintenance and repairs of the roads per province, Chairperson. Then on the aviation side, Chairperson, part of the SONA was the infrastructure investment, and I don't see anything in the aviation for the expansion of airports, expansion of infrastructure at the AXA airports and AXA infrastructure. And then I'm also would like if we can rephrase that part of the or clarify that part on the cities that will be on the single ticketing system that will be inspected by the department. I find it would be better to say we would like a report on Bloemfontein, we'd like a report on Rustenburg, we'd like a report on George, for an example, Chairperson, so that as a committee we can check and do our oversight role properly to make sure that the department is actually doing it what they're supposed to be doing. Otherwise, Chair, with my comments and questions, I move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Mondis Ngenaba.
Baba Mangete, kunjani mrotho?
Ngikhona mfowethu, ngizawakhetha amabala. Kunjani
ngakho? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter, because actually he covered a lot of scenario that we're supposed to deal with. But only thing that I'm trying to check with the issue of potholes, the maintenance of roads of our roads, because it doesn't seem that we do have any observation and recommendation, because you see, as we are driving around the country, there's a lot of things that's supposed to happen, especially on maintenance and filling of potholes, because potholes are killing our people the most. And then the other Chairperson, I'm trying to check the issue of road. Because I think as a portfolio committee, we have to have a recommendation that stick to this Muroto corridor. Or either we cannot recommend, but we can have some observation on that Muroto road. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the
You seem to be cutting, Mondise. You're actually gone. Mondise is gone. Any other hand, we'll come back to him if he's able to reconnect. Ntate Makhosi no zoka theola letso ho mre na re se rutlwile hore wena o reng. Any other hand? Department, do you want to say something? Any response from the side of this department? Okay. You're back. Mondisa, yes. Finish what you
started. We have a network challenge here because of this load shedding. I'm disconnected always.
Yeah, you must learn to chat. chat on the side so that we can read what you are saying if there's a problem. But we hear you continue, Mondise.
No, I think I finished, Honorable Chairperson. Only that I say I'm worried about this time frame of 2020-23, if we can give them 6 months. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. What is the view of your party? Are you supporting adopting this report?
No, we do support the report.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mondise. Any other hand before I go to the department?
Chairperson?
I hear you, Mukhayisu, and I am with you. The floor is yours.
Apologies. I'm unable to raise my hand for some other reason. I've just literally noticed that I am not seeing Honorable Hunsinger online here, so I'm the only one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reserve any of my comments until such time that I can know whether he's going to join the meeting or not.
Thank you very much, Mkhayesu. You are being responsible, but in case he's not there, you are allowed to say whatever your party would have said or whatever you have, but it's okay. Achbare Peter May. Unmute yourself, sir. Unmute yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
We support the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Akhbare May. Thank you very much. Banjani Ntabi Ndilapo Bayapila. Okay. Any other hand that has something to say? Okay. Let's get back to the department. You want to give any clarity or you're happy with the considerations and inputs?
Honorable Chair.
Zake, Wagatwa, Mzimkulu, Ngenaba.
Thank you. This is Zakhele Twala, I'm the DDG for Civil Aviation. My colleagues have a problem of connecting. Oh, let me.
But I can see
Ubabumadia. My face.
I can see Ubabumadia's hand is up. I don't know if you still want to continue. Otherwise,
okay. The DDG.
Chairperson. The deputy minister's hand is up and she is in the meeting, just to let you know. Thank you, Chair.
I see the hand of the deputy minister. She has just raised the hand. I will give the deputy minister immediately after Ubaba Umatia. Acting DG.
Good morning, Chair, and esteemed members of the committee. I hope, Chair, this time around, you can see my picture.
Yes, I can see you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. We have noted the inputs that have been made, particularly on the side of the AXA infrastructure program, CAPEX program. We have also noted the input that they've made about the state of our roads, particularly on the potholes. We have also noted the comments from Honorable MacDonald that touches on the state of our projects on the regions where he suggested that we it will be helpful if we were to be specific. Chair, we'll consider all those inputs for the budget vote, first of all. Secondly, we are making a commitment to the portfolio committee on transport that we will include on our quarterly engagements with this committee in terms of the work that we are doing, particularly on the potholes on our roads, so that we don't lose that critical update and reporting to the portfolio committee. Thank you very much, Chair.
Deputy Minister, thank you very much, Acting DG, the Honorable Deputy Minister of Transport, Mama Chikunga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Chair, I did send an apology. I am actually having an appointment at the University of Zululand. I'm therefore traveling today. However, I thought that I could join the portfolio committee, particularly because the minister also had tendered an apology. Chair, we have listened carefully to the issues that the portfolio committee members, honorable members, are raising. First, with regards to vacancy rate in the department itself, we are aware, and Chair, we do acknowledge the issue that the portfolio committee is raising, particularly because that one is regulated in terms of public service regulation, which actually states that each department should have a maximum of 10% vacancy rate at any given time. We have tried our level best to, and we continue to fill in some vacancies that are there. And we'll continue doing that so that at least we meet that regulatory requirement of 10% vacancy rate, which takes into account the fact that people resign, people die, people retire, and therefore there will be some vacancy rate vacancies at any given time. The second issue, Chair, with regards to our state-owned companies, I must report, Chair, that recently, just this month, we have appointed two CEOs, one for RSR and the other one for ATNS. And we are in the process of ensuring that our boards are also appointed and vacancies that are there are filled. And we are in the process of doing that. At least there is some progress that is happening in that regard. Coming to other issues, Chair, in fact, the consultants that the portfolio committee has raised, we definitely will take into account what the portfolio committee is saying, particularly because we should have people that are able to do some work. We'll take note of that and we'll look in and we'll ensure that the concerns raised by the portfolio committee are attended to. We take this report, Chair, and the comments made by the Portfolio Committee very seriously. We thank you for ensuring that you show us even our blind spots where we cannot see, but also that you raise these matters with us. We have taken note of what the Portfolio Committee have said. I thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Deputy Minister, we only had your apology and no any other apology was received from the department. on record. I thought I should raise this issue so that if the minister had thought that his apology was tendered, it was not. But thank you very much, Honorable
Chairperson.
Yes.
There was an apology received from the minister during the course of the meeting via email that I forwarded to you. It was after the meeting started.
Oh, so I'm correct. Oh, okay. Thank you very much for correcting that, Valerie. I thought I should just stay with the correct record as far as I know it. Thank you very much. I think let's close this item. It has been adopted. And thank you very much. Let's get to the next item. Portfolio committee, that is Valerie.
Yes,
the minister is lowering her hand.
Chair, my hand is still raised. If you want to give me another second of the committee's time, please.
Yes, I am recognizing you, Valerie.
Chair, it's just in terms of process, Mr. McDonald's comments. I just want to know if there is support for it from the committee so that the support staff have clarity on the inclusion of that so that the report can be adopted as a with the amendments. That's the other matter. And I just want to confirm for the record, Chair, the movers and the seconders for the adoption.
Okay. Let's do that for the record. There are views that were presented by Honorable O. McDonald and Honorable Stolle. Can we get a supporter of those views so that they get to be part of considerations and recommendations of this report? Any hand from the honorable members? I'm sure the hand will not be from the two members. Baba Uli Sawagwamani.
Seconded, Chairperson, Honorable Mani.
Seconded, Miriam.
Seconded, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let's then go maybe formally to the adoption of the report for record purposes. Let's have a mover.
Hello.
Masombu, Honorable McDonald.
Chair, with those amendments and approvals from the committee, I move for the adoption of the report, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Oh, Mama, oh, Mduma. Again, I'm doing.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also
unfortunately are losing you. We are unfortunately losing you. Could you try and place yourself in a position where we can hear you? Valerie?
Yes, Chair, if the member can maybe use the chat function to make it easier because of the connection problem.
I'm sure Honorable Fikile hears that. I only caught her where she was also supporting the report. Are we good to go, Valerie? Can we step off this report?
Yes, Chair.
Valerie, thank you very much. item number four. I can see somebody wants to deal with that item. Briefing by the Department of Transport on the protocols relating to the amendments to Articles 50A and 56 of the Convention on International Civil Aviation, that is tabled in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa of 1996. Advocate Masumbu, I see your name here, so let's hear if you're ready for it, or let's get a Honorable Deputy Minister, is your hand up?
Yes, Chair, just okay. To introduce.
Okay, sure, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I'm sorry, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Msebenzi Zwane, Honorable Members, our Acting DG, Senior Managers from the Department of Transport, and our state-owned companies in the aviation sector. Chair, South Africa is recognized as one of the important contributors to the international civil aviation development. This recognition is demonstrated, as members will be aware, by our election into the Council of the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO. You'll remember, Chair, that we became a member of the Council in 2003, and we have been re-elected to serve into that council since then. But also, Chair, and our last re-election was just in 2019. The role that we continue to play in maintaining a robust international aviation safety regime is indeed demonstrated by none other than our impeccable record in commercial aviation safety, as we are recording a 0% over time, and we want to maintain that. And we want to state it, Chairperson, that it's not coincidental. It's because of the measures that we put in place to ensure that our commercial aviation is safe. Our aviation entities, that is SACA, ATNS, and AXA, do continue to fly South Africa's flag very high and have all earned South Africa respect and recognition among the family of nations. And I must say, Chair, that South Africa plays an active role in the work of ICAO by positively contributing and participating in a number of ICAO panels, committees, and working groups. As the Portfolio Committee, as South Africa, we have chaired quite a number of strategic positions in the ICAO per se. But also, Chairperson, South Africa, as you will know, is amongst the very countries in Africa that signed SATAM, which is a single African air transport market. And we are playing an active role to ensure that other countries do sign that important protocol. South Africa also continue to avail expertise to African Civil Aviation Commission, AFCAC, to advance the economic development of air transport in the continent. We actually have sent quite a number of our officials to go and serve there. And even now, we do have one who is in Senegal, ensuring that we continue to make a meaningful contribution to the development of Africa's aviation sector. As also we are preparing for the ICAO's 41st Triennial Assembly later this year, we will once again declare our candidacy for membership of the Council, which is ICAO's governing body. And we hope that at the time, we will be re-elected to serve in part two of that council. South Africa, as you will know, Chair, is a signatory to the Convention of International Civil Aviation, popularly known as Chicago Convention, which led to the creation of ICAO and established, among others, rules of airspace, aircraft registration and safety, and details of rights of signatories in relation to air travel. The ratification, Chair, of the protocols relating to amendments to Articles 50A and 56 of the Convention, which seeks to support the increase in the size of Council from 36 to 40 members. We think this is an important step forward for ICAO Council. This is premised on the increase in the membership of ICAO, which has grown to 193 member countries, and recognition of the increasing importance of international air transport to national economies. There is recognition that the current membership of the Council of ICAO does not achieve sufficient geographic balance due to increased representation of contracting states. Expertise and experience from diverse operational skills and knowledge can be drawn from new and old contracting states due to the expansion. So the increased membership of the ICAO Council will afford contracting states better representation. And this will also afford better accommodation of African states who have an important contribution to make towards the development of the African airspace. The states in the council are elected based on the recognition of their contribution to the International Civil Aviation Authority. You will know we have Part 1 states being recognized as states of chief importance in air transport. And right now, this includes countries such as China, France, Canada, Germany, United Kingdom, Brazil, Russia, and United States. Part 2 is composed of states which make the largest contribution to the provision of facilities for international civil air navigation. And South Africa is part of this group of states alongside Colombia, Egypt, Mexico, Nigeria, Singapore, Saudi Arabia, and Spain. And of course, Part 3 are states elected to ensure geographic representation and include countries such as Cote d'Ivoire, Sudan, Zambia, and United Arab Emirates, among others. The ratification of these protocols is of particular significance to South Africa, considering our aspiration of moving from Part 2 to Part 1 of the Council. This is a position we will explore once the protocols are ratified by the required number of contracting states and have come into operation. The protocols will come into force upon ratification by 128 states out of 193. To date, only 70 ICAO contracting states have ratified the protocols. If South Africa ratifies the protocol, then we'll be number 71. With the permission, Chairperson, I want to thank you very much for allowing us to make these comments. I will therefore hand over to the Acting Director General, who lead the department's presentation, or will lead the department's representation to the portfolio committee. I thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. The department's official who lead us. Let's hear from the official now.
Thank you, Chair, once again, and thank you to the Deputy Minister of the Transport Portfolio. Chair, I will therefore request my colleagues from Aviation, led by the DDG, Mr. Twala, to take the members through the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ubaba Umati. Mzimgul.
Thank you. Good morning to the Chair and honorable members and our Deputy Minister. I would ask Elizabeth to go through it. I've got a female team in Aviation. Thank you.
Elizabeth. Let's hear you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, DM. Good morning to the members, the executive of the department. The presentation that I'm going to do, and I think the DM has said a mouthful in her introductory remark. So the presentation is on the ratification of protocols that relates to amendments of Articles 50A and 56 of the Convention of International Civil Aviation, commonly known as the Chicago Convention, as the DM has indicated. And in the presentation, we are going to cover the following areas. The purpose, we have introduction slide, proposed amendments, and why, the rationale, why is there a need for us to amend the articles. We'll also look at the benefits for ratification and the department and stakeholders that we have consulted with, and why the decision that we will be requiring from PCOT. So the purpose is to request PCOT support on the ratification of protocols relating to the amendment of Article 50A and 56 of the Chicago Convention. And South Africa is a member of the ICAO, and we have ratified the convention on the 4th of April, 1947. We therefore incorporated the convention into our national legislation, and we have incorporated it under Schedule 3 of the Civil Aviation Act number 13 of 2009. And South Africa, we are currently a member of the ICAO Council under Part 2, apologies for the typo. And under Part 2, we have those states which are making the largest contribution to the provision of facilities for international civil navigation. So in 2016, we had the 39th session of the assembly, and the two protocols relating to the two articles, 58 and 56, were adopted at the assembly that we held in 2016. So in the convention, Article 50A relates, states that the ICAO Council, which is a permanent body that is responsible to the assembly, shall comprise of 36 contracting states, and these states are elected at the assembly. And Article 56 states that the Air Navigation Commission, which manages the technical work program of ICAO, shall comprise of 19 members. And these members are appointed by the ICAO Council, and they are selected amongst the nominated contracting states. So in terms of the proposed amendment, by us amending Article 50A, we will be moving from the current 36 member states and amending it to get to 40 members for the membership of the ICAO Council. And with respect to Article 56, the amendment seeks to increase the current number of the Air Navigation Commission from 19 to 21. And why are we, what is the rationale therefore, and why is it necessary for these amendments to come into force? And we are saying here that the amendments are necessary because it will increase the large number in the membership of the ICAO Council. It will also, because the current membership does not strike a better balance due to the increased representation of the contracting state. So the amendment therefore will assist us to strike a better balance in the membership. And it will also be able to get expertise and experience from diverse operational skills, and knowledge will therefore be drawn from the new contracting states. The most important one for us is that other African states will therefore be able to be accommodated in the ICAO Council. And by so doing, we will therefore be able to develop the African airspace, because the current membership of the ICAO Council, we only have about 8 African states being represented in the ICAO Council. So therefore, this amendment will assist us in ensuring that more African states are accommodated in the ICAO Council. And in terms of the benefits for the country, why is it therefore necessary for South Africa as a member state to ratify the two protocols? So we will benefit as South Africa and Africa at large as well. And for us, as articulated by the DM in her opening remarks, we are aspiring to move from the part two and move from part two to part three, so that we can move from part two to part one, my apologies, so that we can join the developed states that are currently serving as states of chief importance in air transport. And the protocol, for the protocols to come into force, they have to be ratified by 128 states. And to date, only 70 contracting states have ratified the protocol. So we still have a long way to go. And we are hoping that we'll be able to be the 71st member state to ratify the protocol. And in terms of the stakeholders that we consulted the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and International Relations and Cooperation. And they confirmed, the two departments confirmed that the amendment is aligned to our constitutional setup. We also consulted the presidency, and in our consultation, they gave us an exemption from developing a socio-economic impact analysis. We also went to the ESAID and ICTS cluster, and we also received support from the two clusters, and they recommended that we must then proceed to cabinet. And we then went to cabinet, and cabinet approved the two protocols as well. And that's the reason why we are here today. So the decision required from PCOT is that we are recommending that PCOT should consider and support the referral of the two protocols for consideration and approval by the National Assembly. I thank you, Chairperson.
Mayor Elizabeth Pierre, am I pronouncing your surname correctly?
Yes, Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. We will be in a position to get to conclude your request as you request us to do next week, I'm sure. Members, anybody wants to make any input, we will finalize this next week. At least this is the second convention we're dealing with. I'm sure we should be able to deal with the third one right away. Obaba Umangu, followed by Honorable McDonald. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, colleagues.
Well, just two observations and comments. The second last presentation, they are after cabinet or before cabinet bullet, there are two abbreviations. If I could know what those abbreviations stand for. The last presentation, slide second last before, thank you. On the top, it says what is required from cabinet, but in the body talks about portfolio committee. I'm not sure if it is intended for cabinet or for us. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Manu. And Honorable McDonald, and the last will be Honorable Ketamaba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, South Africa and this department lives in a global village, and the amendment to those two sections will encourage the transformation of the aviation sector, specifically in ICAO, regarding adding more African countries, which plays very well with the South African government's initiative to Global Africa and One Africa. And Chairperson, thus, with the concerns that were raised by Honorable Manu, and that I support that, I make a suggestion that we support the adoption of this request, and that we pursue the amendment of those acts. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald Baba Umondise.
Thank you, Honorable Mangete. No, I'm checking there on the on that report. They say there's a current membership of the Council of ICAO does not strike a better balance. If they can unpack that one, if they say they does not strike the better balance, what does that mean?
Okay. Mem Pierre, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Chair. If I can start with the first one raised by, I think it was Mr. Mangu. The abbreviation, the first one, he said is, those are the DG cluster committees. He said is the economic sectors, employment and infrastructure development. And the second one, ICTS, is the international cooperation, trade and security cluster. And I think the last, the one that talked to cabinet, I do apologize, it was a typo. The presentation is indeed meant for parliament, for PCOT, because we've concluded the cabinet consultation, and then the next phase therefore is to come to yourself so that we can then present to parliament, and I do apologize for the typo. And the question that, there was a question around striking a balance. What we are referring to, because currently we have, on the ICAO Council, we have 36 member states. And from the 36 member states, Africa as a continent, which comprises of 54 states, we are only represented by 8 African countries. And we are saying if we therefore move, and under part one, Africa is not represented at all. And the current setup where we have 36 member states, Africa cannot even get a slot under part one. And those are countries with chief importance in air transport. So we are saying, therefore, by increasing from 36 to 40, we are going to be able to get more African states to get into the ICAO Council. The membership will still be skewed, but at least we will be able to increase and strive towards striking a better balance, because then that increased number will allow us to see an increased representation of the contracting states. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Pierre. I think we will conclude this item next week, where we'll be dealing specifically with the recommendation and adopting that recommendation, as we have dealt with the other convention. For now, I think we're done. Thank you very much. Dr. Madia and your team. Can we then deal with the minutes? There are two sets of minutes that we need to deal with. The first minute is the, who's this one now? Is that the Honorable Deputy Minister? Who was saying chair? Okay, let me say it's a mistake. The minutes of the 29th of March, I've gone through the minutes. I did not see any problem with the minutes. Can we get a mover and a seconder for the minutes? Honorable Mangu.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. Honorable MacDonald.
I second the adoption of the minutes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. There is a set of minutes of the 3rd of May, which is a product of a joint meeting with a select committee. That minute is also ready for our adoption. I've also gone through the same set of minutes. The select committee on their side will also do the same and approve the minutes. May I have a move of that set of minutes? A mover and a seconder, please. There is a hand from Honorable MacDonald.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Fikile Khumalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do second the minutes.
Thank you very much. Portfolio committee, that should be Valerie. Valerie?
Okay, my hand was definitely not up, so it's not me.
No, I have not suggested that your hand was up. There are minutes of a set of minutes of the 8th of February, which was also a joint meeting. Am I correct?
Yes, Chair.
Would you make that available so that we can also go through that set of minutes next week and also then be able to adopt it?
Yes, Chair. I've sent the original draft to members after our meeting in February. And that minute was revised. So I've sent members the reviewed copy last week. So it will be on the agenda then, Chair, for next week. It deals with the suspension of the grant in the PTNG grant in those municipalities that breached the committee last time.
Valerie, thank you very much. Any announcements from your side?
No, Chair, just as I indicated to you this morning before the start of the meeting, now that the committee could not deal with the two bills this morning, there will be an impact on the agenda going forward. So we will discuss that with you And the team after the meeting, because we now need an indication whether the state law advisor will be ready to proceed with the presentation of the A list to the committee next week or the week after, Chair, because she's only back from sick leave tomorrow. And Chair, that's basically it. And it does affect both bills. So it will affect the agenda in a major way.
Thank you very much, Valerie. There is a hand that seeks to say something before I close. I'm not saying it's a hijack. Let me hear Honorable Member Seitholo.
Chair, thank you for your indulgence. Sorry, I may have missed Valerie's comments around the submission of the Northwest Administrator in as far as his commitment was made in submitting in 7 days. I want to check, Chair, what then happens when those who attend oversight meetings of the portfolio and are then said to submit information in 7 days and do not do so? What is our recourse as a portfolio committee? And what actions must then be taken in as far as that is concerned? Thank you, Chair.
You are highly in order, Mkhayesu. Northwest has already submitted. But your second question becomes valid. Valerie?
Chair, if I may clarify, as indicated at the start of the meeting, the reason why the committee could not proceed with the oversight report is because it did not get the information from the Northwest Administrator, and it did not get the information from Ms. Nduzi, and we are still awaiting information from the department on that was requested during the visit. So, Chair, that is where we are at now. So the reports that will be distributed to the committee this afternoon will be those without the responses from those parties.
Oh, Northwest has not submitted yet.
Rustenburg responded, Chair, but not the administrator and not Ms. Nduzi.
Okay. Now, if they refuse to submit, we'll have to summon them to the committee. Am I correct? Do we have any avenue?
Valerie? Chair, that will be the committee's decision how to move forward. Mm-hmm. I can forward a reminder for them to send the info, but I think I discussed it with you yesterday. In the case of Ms. Nduzi, for example, during the SCOA meeting, they've agreed to send follow-up written responses within 7 days. And they haven't done it for SCOA on those outstanding questions by March. So I'm not sure if we will have a repeat of the situation after this oversight visit.
Okay, write a letter and remind them, Valerie, so that we close this matter.
I will do so, Chair.
Honorable MacDonald?
Chairperson, it's not my intention to hijack your meeting, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't want us to allow entities or departments or whomever that have promised us reports to get the feeling that we are in a committee that have no teeth and we don't have constitutional rights, Chairperson. Chairperson, so as much as we remind them, Chairperson, can we please make a decision, or can we then or sometime make a decision that if they do not respond to our requests, Chairperson, that they come and present the portfolio committee in person in Cape Town on their own cost, Chairperson, because we cannot be disrespected and like we are nobodies and we don't have teeth, Chairperson. I know, Chairperson, I might be sounding a bit harsh, and it's not my intention, Chairperson. It's just in order for entities and departments to take us serious, we have to draw a line in the sand somewhere, Chairperson. And I apologize for my tone, but it's not meant like a Chairperson. It's just that I feel they promised us, they need to give it to us. If they don't give it to us, there must be consequences. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. We will definitely follow that route should they not come in handy. As I've said, we must write a letter to them. We will take it from there. Thank you very much. Let me then say with those remarks, thank everybody who was part of this meeting today. We shall see each other when Valerie.
Chair, the next meeting is next week on the 17th of May.
17th of May, that is Tuesday, 9 o'clock, on the same platform. Thank you very much. Long live everybody. The meeting is adjourned.
All hail the chair.
Aha, Mkhair.
Long live the chairperson of this portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, McD. Long live everybody. Thank you. Hey.